program is sponsored by the Islamic Media Foundation, sharing the guidance of Allah through broadcast media and the internet.
Right, it's time today. That's a great show. Yeah, it's the principles of Islam, the basics of Islam. The Sheikh Yusuf Esther. That's just a great show. Every Friday, 2 p.m. It's time today with Sheikh Yusuf Esther. This is Islam Today with Sheikh Yusuf Esther.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulullah, ahlan wa sahlan. In the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful, the peace and the blessings be upon His last and final messenger, which is Muhammad. Welcome to Islam Al-Yawm, Islam Today. This is your host, Yusuf Estes, and I'll be with you for the next few minutes discussing some important issues to Islam and the Muslims in today's world. In a previous program, we discussed topically the subject of the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet, peace be upon him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When we mentioned about the Sunnah, we talked briefly about what it means. It means a path or a way that you would go, how you follow a certain way. So when we're talking about Sunnah as pertains to the Prophet, peace be upon him, then we're talking about his way, what he did, what he said, how he acted, the things that he refrained from, and what he taught us basically by his lifestyle. Those who came later were those who actually studied this and made it their life work to produce what we call today the science of the Sunnah, the study of the way of the Prophet, peace be upon him, and give explanation to it so that we can better understand what is Islam. We would understand, for instance, that the Quran is the speech of Allah, and as such needs little, if any, introduction. After all, once you understand that it came from Allah, you would simply accept what Allah said. However, the Sunnah, or the way of the Prophet, peace be upon him, would be the explanation or the exemplary conditions of the human being, what we should do, how we should behave and understand and apply what we learn from the Quran. Those who came after the Prophet, peace be upon him, showed us a lot about the Sunnah, not only with what they read and studied and learned from each other, but also in their own lives. The early Imams, the most famous of all, the first what we call four schools of thought, or in the Arabic language, these are called madhhabs, or the plural in Arabic, madhhab, should not be regarded as being separate schools that were set up across the street from each other that you could go pick and choose which one you want to follow, because they did not come all at the same time. These people were not contemporaries as much as they were students of each other or followers of each other. I would like to first give a brief outline of four scholars that are known as Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, and Imam Malik, whose name is well known to Muslims all over the world, but especially in Africa these days, Imam Ash-Shafi, and Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. And these are the four big imams, as it were. But Abu Hanifa is the first in the series, and he actually came first. Imam Malik, who was from Medina, a scholar in Medina, did go to Imam Abu Hanifa and visit him when Imam Abu Hanifa was in his aging, you know, as he was older. And Imam Ash-Shafi was a student of Imam Malik. And then finally, Ahmad bin Hanbal was a student of Imam Ash-Shafi. So they came in succession, and they did learn from each other. One of the things that we should be aware of is that they all based their decisions on what we call hadith, or the sayings of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which were recorded and then authenticated and then understood by the imams according to what was available to them in their area. And by the time of the last imam, which is Ahmad bin Hanbal, the hadith had pretty well been collected and formulated in what we would call books of hadith. And it was much easier for the last of the four to make decisions because he had more to work with, because he had the benefit of the previous teachers. In any case, we'll first mention today some of the things that the imams themselves said about following the sunnah and leaving their own particular views to the side if they fell in contradiction to the sunnah. So this is where we'd like to begin, and we will mention also what Allah says in the Quran. He says, follow, O men, the revelation given to you from your Lord, and follow not as friends and protectors other than him. Little is it that you remember of admonition. Okay, we'll begin now with the first of the four, and that is Abu Hanifa Nu'am ibn Thabit. His kunya is Abu Hanifa, which actually means the father of the correct religion, or the right way of the correct belief. His companions have narrated from him various sayings and diverse warnings, all of them leading to one thing: the obligation to accept the hadith and to give up following the opinions of the imams if they're in contradiction to it. The first one I'd like to mention, he said, when a hadith is found to be correct, in other words, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually said this thing, he says, then that is my madhhab. That is my way. That's what I follow. Another one I'd like to mention, he said, it is forbidden for anybody to accept my views, what I'm teaching here, if you don't know where I got it from. Now, this is a clear warning, and he's saying he forbids anybody to take his view without knowing where he got it from. And in another narration, he said, it is forbidden for someone who does not know my evidence to give any verdicts based on what I have said. And then in another narration, he said, for we are mere mortals. We say one thing one day, and then we take it back the next day. And then he said to Yaqub, he said, woe unto you, O Yaqub, do not write down everything you hear from me. For it happens that I hold one opinion today, and then I'll reject it tomorrow, or I'll hold one opinion tomorrow, and then I'm going to reject it the day after tomorrow. And then I'd like to mention, he said, Rahimallah, Abu Hanifa tells us, he said, when I say something that contradicts what Allah said in the Quran, or contradicts what has been narrated from the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, then ignore what I've said. So you see, he's very clear about the subject of not blindly following what he's teaching. And this is an important condition for us today as Muslims, because we do find that there are a lot of people who are doing what is called in Arabic taqlid. And this means to blindly follow what you find someone else following. And certainly we don't want to be guilty of that, especially in the light of what the imam himself has taught us. And he is truly considered the great imam or leader of Muslims in those early days. Now, I'd like to mention the second in the series of the four imams, and that's Imam Malik. His name is actually Malik ibn Anas. He has a kunya or nickname named for his son. You say the father of so-and-so. And his son is named Abdullah, so his name is Abu Abdullah Malik ibn Anas, rahimahullah. And now this is what he says, more or less translation. He said, truly, I am only a mortal. I make mistakes sometimes, and I'm correct sometimes. Therefore, look into my opinions, and all that agrees with the Book of Allah, meaning the Quran, and the Sunnah, meaning the way of the Prophet, peace be upon him, then take it. But whatever does not agree with the Book of Allah, the Quran, and the Sunnah of the Prophet, then ignore it. Now that's pretty clear. Face up. If what I say agrees with Allah and his messenger, then take it. If it doesn't, throw it away. That's clear. The second thing I'd like to mention where he says, more or less a translation, everyone after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace be upon him, will have his sayings accepted and rejected, but not the Prophet, peace be upon him. So whatever comes from Muhammad, he's saying to us, then this we take, because it's not going to have mistakes. It is always accepted. But as far as the imams, and he's considered, of course, one of the great imams, some will be rejected and some will be accepted. The third thing I'd like to mention, it's said about him, Ibn Wahab says about him, I heard Malik, and he's talking about Imam Malik, Abu Abdullah. I heard him being asked about cleaning between the toes while you are making the ablution or the wudu, which the Muslims make before they pray. And he told the people, you don't have to clean between your toes when you wash for this prayer. Now, Ibn Wahab tells us, he said, you know, I didn't approach the imam until after the crowd had gone away. Then I went up to him and I said, you know, we know of a sunnah about cleaning between the toes. Something from Muhammad, peace be upon him, about cleaning between the toes. Imam Malik said, what is it? I said, Layth ibn Sa'd ibn Lahiha and Amr ibn al-Harith narrated to us from Yazid ibn Amr al-Ma'arifi, from Abu Abdurrahman al-Hubuli. And he's saying that he said, I saw the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, rubbing between his toes with his little finger. Based on the chain of narrators, which, by the way, I left some of them out in the interest of time, but you can look this up in our books or visit our website to pick it up, islamtoday.com, and pick up more information about these hadiths. He said, based on this hadith, it is correct, but I had not heard it until now. And then afterwards, when I heard people ask him about washing their feet, he always ordered them to clean between their toes. So this shows us that Imam Malik was just like anybody else, a mortal who makes mistakes. This is what he said. Truly, I'm only a mortal. I make mistakes sometimes, I'm correct sometimes. So in this case, the Prophet ﷺ had told the people to clean between their toes when they make this washing, and he didn't know that, so he told them it wasn't necessary. But now he finds out that there is a correct chain of narrators, and so that means that he actually said it. Muhammad actually, peace be upon him, actually said this. So after that, he tells the people, clean between your toes when you wash up like this. So this gives us a little bit of introduction to what some of the imams have said regarding the sunnah and about ignoring their views when it's contradictory to the sunnah. We'll come back with what the other two imams have said in a few minutes, and we're going to take this little break, give you opportunity to sit back and relax a second, and we'll be right back after these important words. You're listening to Islam Today. I'm Sheikh Yusuf Estes, and we'll be right back.
اللهم رب جبرائيل وميكائيل وإسرافيل فاطر السماوات والأرض عالم الغيب والشهادة أنت تحكم بين عبادك فيما كانوا فيه يختلفون اهدني لما اختلف فيه من الحق بإذنك إنك تهدي من تشاء إلى صراط مستقيم.
O Allah, Lord of Jibra'il, Mika'il, and Israfil, Creator of the heavens and the earth, Knower of the seen and the unseen, You are the arbitrator between Your servants in that which they have disputed. Guide me to the truth by Your leave in that which they have differed. For verily, You guide whom You will to a straight path.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, we're back. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. The praises to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, who Allah the Jal and the Muslimin, who made us into Muslims. We're talking today about the sayings of the Imams, the great Imams of the famous four schools of thought in Islam, that is Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Malik ibn Anas, Imam Muhammad ibn Idris, Shafi, who we're going to be talking about next, and then finally Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, and what they said regarding their opinions when it might fall in contradiction to what the Prophet, peace be upon him, has told us or what we find in the Sunnah. So we'll pick up where we left off, and we're back on the track again here on Islam Today. We're talking about now the third Imam in the series is Imam Shafi. His name, by the way, was Muhammad. And the son of Idris, so he's Muhammad ibn Idris, and his son was also named Abdullah, so he's Abu Abdullah. And as for Imam Shafi, he said, the quotations now here are, by the way, very numerous, and they're beautiful. And his followers were the best in sticking to his sayings, by the way. Here's just a few. He says, the sunnah, or the way of Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as well as some escapes us and some reaches us. Okay, this means that we get some of it and we miss some of it. So whenever I voice my opinion, he says, or I formulate a principle where anything I have said is contrary to want the messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, that was what Muhammad is said, then the correct view is going to be what Muhammad s.a.w. has said, and then that becomes my view. Here's another statement from him. He said, the Muslims are unanimously agreed in that a sunnah, or the way of Muhammad, the messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is made clear to someone, then it is not permitted for him to leave it for the saying of anyone else. Meaning, Muhammad said it, then it's not permissible for you to leave that for somebody else. Because, in fact, Muhammad is the Khatman Anbiya. He's the seal of the prophets. As Allah said in the Quran, in Surah Al-Hazab, chapter 33, verse 40 in the Quran, he said, Muhammad is not the father of any of your men, but he is the Khatman Anbiya. He's the seal of prophethood. So therefore, we couldn't leave what he says for what another person said, because obviously they're not a prophet. Another statement from Imam Malik, he says, if you find in any of my writings something different to the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then speak on the basis of the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and leave what I said alone. And then in another narration he said, then follow the sunnah and do not look sideways at anyone else's saying. The fourth thing I'll call your attention to is he said, when a hadith, in other words a saying, a teaching of Muhammad, is found to be sahih, which means authentic, correct, he said, then that is my madhab. What did we say is madhab? Madhab means school of thought. He said, my madhab is the madhab of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that's pretty clear. Next point, he says, more or less a translation, you are more knowledgeable about hadith than I am. He's talking to someone about hadith. So when a hadith is sahih, authentic, tell me about it. Whether it's from Kufa, Basra, or Syria. He's talking about three geographical locations. So that I may take the view of the hadith as long as it is sahih, which means authentic. Then he said, in every issue where the people of narration find a report from the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to be sahih, which is contrary to what I have said, then I take my saying back, whether it's during my life or after my death. So this is Imam Shafi, the third in the series of the four great imams, and some of his comments. There are many more. Again, you can visit us on the internet website at islamtoday.com and visit the section on hadith and sunnah, or send us an email and we can give you a lot more. You can find it there by just going to islamtoday.com/imams.htm. In fact, you'll find this whole article there, which is reproduced, by the way, courtesy of one of our other brothers in Islam at islam.com. That's islaam.com. The fourth great imam that I'd like to speak about today is Ahmad bin Hanbal. Now, all of these are heroes to me, but no less Ahmad bin Hanbal. He truly is a great hero for all of us in Islam, and we love him so much. He's the student of the imam that we were just talking about, which is Imam Muhammad ibn Idris al-Shafi. And remember that Muhammad ibn Idris al-Shafi was the student of Malik ibn Anas, and who Malik ibn Anas had also met with and learned from Abu Hanifa when he visited him in Iraq. So they're in a series. We want to repeat that. We want to keep this in mind, that these are not four contemporary schools set up in competition with each other across the street trying to call people into their different ways, as some people have wrongly supposed today. Let's talk about Ahmad bin Hanbal. By the way, guess what? He named his son Abdullah. So he's also Abu Abdullah, Ahmad ibn Hanbal. That means Ahmad, the son of Hanbal, Abu, the father of Abdullah. So the three of the four great imams named their sons, their oldest son, Abdullah, and so they were all also known as Abu Abdullah. What did Ahmad bin Hanbal say about the concept of sayings of the imams regarding the sunnah, and if their views are contradictory to that? Here's what he says, more or less the translation. He says, do not follow my opinion, neither follow the opinion of Malik or Shafi, nor Awazi, nor Thawri, but take from where they took it. Now, what's he saying? He's talking about great amounts. And he's telling us clear. Do not follow my opinion, but rather follow the opinion of the place where they got it from. What is that? That's the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Rasul Sallallahu. So it's not acceptable for anybody to say, my sheikh said this, my imam said this, and that's final. No. If your imam or your sheikh said it, you'll take it if what? If they have a proof from the Quran or from the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And let's take a couple more things that he said before we take a little break here. He said, more or less a translation, the opinion of Awza'i, the opinion of Imam Malik, the opinion of Imam Abu Hanifa, all of it is opinion and it is all equal in my eyes. However, the proof is in the narrations from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the isnad, the narrations of the correct hadith from Muhammad through his companions. Then he said, whoever rejects the statement of the Messenger of Allah, meaning Muhammad, peace be upon him, is on the brink of destruction. And may Allah save us from that. Ameen. Ameen. So this is some very clear statements. Clear statements of what the great imams have said about themselves and about what they were taught from their imams and what they were teaching to their students. And that is basically what? Do not follow what I say if it is not in line what is being taught in the Quran and in the Sunnah or the Hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You're listening to Islam Today, and we're broadcasting to you from IBN, IBN Network. You can visit us on the internet by going to IBN.net and check out what's going on. We're going to take a break, inshallah, God willing, and be back in just a few minutes with more on Islam Today.
اللهم اغفر لي ما قدمت وما أخرت وما أسررت وما أعلنت وما أسرفت وما أنت أعلم به مني أنت المقدم وأنت المؤخر لا إله إلا أنت.
O Allah, forgive me for those sins which have come to pass, as well as those which shall come to pass, and those I have committed in secret, as well as those I have made public, and where I have exceeded all bounds, as well as those things about which you are more knowledgeable. You are Al-Muqaddim and Al-Mu'akhir. None has the right to be worshipped except you.
Bismillah, Alhamdulillah, we're back. We're back with Islam Today. More about Islam in today's world here on IBN.net. Our subject today, we're talking about the sayings of the great imams in Islam, the four so-called schools of thought or madhahib. That is Abu Hanifa, the great imam of all time, and then Abu Abdullah, also known as Malik ibn Anas, Abu Abdullah, known as Muhammad ibn Idris al-Shafi, and another Abu Abdullah, which is Ahmad ibn Hanbal. And what they said about anybody following their views, if it happened to be in contradiction to the views of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now I'd like to mention something here, and I think this is a very valid and pertinent point at this stage of the game. We have to consider that whoever adheres to the Sunnah of Muhammad and what's proved authentic, even if it's in opposition to the imams or the sheikhs of the time, then in reality, they haven't deviated one bit. They've stayed right on the true path. The deviation would be to blindly follow the imam when he is in clear error. He's on a mistake. So if the imam makes a mistake, then the person should consider this and follow what he knows to be the right way. We should quote, by the way, a couple of things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the book, in the Quran, about this subject. And we would be remiss in our duty if we didn't mention Allah says in the Quran, Allah swears by himself. He's swearing on himself. Sometimes in the Quran, Allah, he'll swear by various different things. Like he swears by the sky, he swears by the stars, he swears by the passage of time, and he swears by the fig and the olive and Mount Sinai. But in this case, he says, but no. He said, by your Lord. He swears on himself. They, meaning the people, can have no real faith until they make you, Muhammad, the judge in all the places where they dispute amongst themselves, and they find in their souls no resistance against your decision, and they accept your decision with the fullest conviction. Now stop and think what he's saying here. He's swearing on himself that we don't have faith, we don't have any iman, until we make the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace be upon him, as a judge in the matters wherein we dispute, and then when the answer comes from him, peace be upon him, then we don't find anything in our soul except to take what's coming, and we have nothing against this, we have the fullest conviction on it. Then he, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in his speech in the Holy Quran, he says, then let those beware who withstand the messenger's order, lest some trial befall them or a grievous penalty be inflicted on them. This means that if when Muhammad, peace be upon him, tells you something, orders you to do something, then you better do it. You better take it. Because Allah says, otherwise a great trial will fall on you or a grievous penalty be inflicted upon those who do that. So that's a little bit scary. Now, as regards mistakes that the imams or sheikhs might make, by the way, the plural of sheikh is not sheikhs, that's in English when you put an S after something, it's shuyukh. So if you drink a milk sheikh, then you drink two of them, that's milk shuyukh. Sorry, I had to put a little humor in there. We'll move forward. Okay, we're back. One of the things that Hafiz Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali, Rahimullah, says. He says, therefore it is an obligation on anyone who hears of a command from the Messenger of Allah, meaning Muhammad, peace be upon him, or they know about it, it's an obligation on them to explain it to the Muslim community, to the Ummah, and advise them sincerely, order them to follow this command, even if it contradicts the opinion of somebody who is considered great. This is because the authority of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, has the most right to be respected and followed, over and above the opinion of any other person, regardless of how we consider them to be great, whether they knowingly or unknowingly contradict what Muhammad, peace be upon him, has commanded in the matter. This is why the companions close to Muhammad and those after would refute anyone who contradicted authentic Sunnah, sometimes being even stern in their refutation. Not of a hatred for the person, no. They loved and respected these people, but because the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, was more beloved to them, and his command was superior to the command of any other created being. So, when the order of Muhammad, the Messenger of Allah, and that of someone else is in conflict, then we must take the order of the Messenger, Muhammad. That is more fitting, according to what is taught to us from the Quran itself and from the Sunnah, from the sayings of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When these great scholars make mistakes, fear not. Listen to what Muhammad, peace be upon him, has said. More or less the translation. He said, whenever a scholar of Islam works to come to the right answer and he's correct in his determination, then he receives two rewards with his Lord. But if he's wrong, he still receives one. And this is the mercy of Allah. And you're listening to Islam Today. And until next time, we pray that Allah guide all of us to be of those who follow the correct Sunnah and avoid those views which are in contradiction to it. This is your host, Sheikh Yusuf Vestas, bidding you, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Allahumma inni zalamtu nafsi zulman kathira. ولا يغفر الذنوب إلا أنت فاغفر لي مغفرة من عندك وارحمني إنك أنت الغفور الرحيم.
O Allah, I have indeed oppressed my soul excessively, and none can forgive sin except you. So forgive me a forgiveness from yourself, and have mercy upon me. Surely you are the most forgiving,
the most merciful.
This program has been sponsored by the Islamic Media Foundation, sharing the guidance of Allah through broadcast media and the internet.